Mr. Speaker, today we know that for 4 years, the Prime Minister's hand-picked closest adviser was a criminal and brought disgrace to Downing Street. We now also know that the Prime Minister willfully ignored multiple warnings about him. On the 8th of July 2009, The Guardian published evidence of phone hacking on an industrial scale while Andy Coulson was editor of the News of the World. At that time, Andy Coulson was his director of communications. What action did he take?
Well, as I said a moment ago, the assurances I sought and received were the same assurances received by the Press Complaints Commission, by a select committee of this House, and by police investigations. They were also thoroughly gone into by the Leveson inquiry, an inquiry he supported. Specifically, and he talks about warnings, specifically on the warning from The Guardian, Leveson had to say this. The editor of The Guardian did not raise the issue with Mr. Cameron at meetings, both in the month after the article was published and the following year. And he says this, and honourable members want to hear, there can be no criticism of Mr. Cameron for not raising the issue. We had an exhaustive inquiry. I know he didn't like the result of the inquiry, but he should accept it.
Mr. Speaker, that is a long-winded way of saying that when it came to Andy Coulson, he just didn't want to know the evidence. First warning ignored. Let's move on to May 2010. The Deputy Prime Minister warned him in person about his deep concerns about Andy Coulson. So he was warned by his deputy. What action did he take?
Every single one of these issues was dealt with by the Leveson inquiry.
Order. Mr. Lucas, calm yourself. I am trying to offer you on a weekly basis therapeutic guidance. But there's a long way to go. There needs to be calm on both sides of the House. The Prime Minister.
Every single one of these issues was dealt with exhaustively by the Leveson inquiry. The terms of reference of the Leveson inquiry were agreed by the Right Honourable Gentleman, and they included, I quote, the extent to which there was a failure to act on previous warnings about media misconduct. That is what Leveson looked into. He looked into all of these questions about the warnings I was given and the response I gave, and he made no criticism of my conduct. Now, I know that the Right Honourable Gentleman was disappointed by the Leveson inquiry, but he called for it, it took place, and he should heed what it said.
No, Mr. Speaker. This is about his character, his judgment, and the warnings he ignored, including from the Deputy Prime Minister. Warning number two ignored. Then in September 2010, the New York Times published a front-page investigation detailing Andy Coulson's extensive knowledge of phone hacking, including one former editor who said, "I've been to dozens, if not hundreds, of meetings with Andy when the subject came up." What action did he take?
All of these issues, every single warning, was dealt with by the Leveson inquiry. An inquiry he called for, an inquiry whose terms of reference he agreed. And I know he can't bear it, but Leveson made no criticism of my conduct in this regard whatsoever. Now, you cannot call for a judge-led inquiry, participate in a judge-led inquiry, write the terms of reference of a judge-led inquiry, and then ignore what it has to say. I have to say, Mr. Speaker, all of the questions he's raising today are not new. They're the questions dealt with by the Leveson inquiry. I know.
The Prime Minister is offering an answer, and it must be heard. Order! It must be heard by the House. Both sides must be heard by the House, and that will happen, as it always does, however long this session has to be run. About that, let us be absolutely clear. The Prime Minister.
I can quite understand why he doesn't want to listen to an eight-month-long inquiry that cost £5 million, that interviewed people under oath, that was led by a judge, but that is what he asked for, that is what was delivered, and it did not criticise my conduct in this regard at all. So instead of casting aspersions about that, he should accept the inquiry that he supported.
No answer. of the questions. No answer why he didn't act on The Guardian. No answer why he didn't act on the Deputy Prime Minister. No answer why he didn't act on the New York Times. Now, let's come to the issue of vetting, Mr. Speaker. Amidst all of those warnings, the very least he should have...
Order. I apologise for interrupting the Right Honourable Gentleman. There is the usual ranting from the usual suspects. Be quiet. Or if you can't be quiet and you haven't got that level of self-restraint, leave the chamber. We can perfectly well manage without you. Mr. Ed Miliband.
Now let's come to the issue of vetting, Mr. Speaker. Amidst all of those warnings, the very least he should have done is insisted immediately on coming to office that Andy Coulson should have the highest level of security vetting as his six predecessors over the previous 14 years had had. Why didn't he insist on it?
Again, Leveson, in his inquiry, looked directly into this issue. And this, Mr. Speaker, and this is what he found. And this is what he found. Leveson concluded this. The level of security clearance was not the decision of either Mr. Cameron or Mr. Coulson. It was the decision of the civil service. Procedures. And those are the correct procedures. But if the Leader of the Opposition's contention, if the Leader of the Opposition's contention is that direct vetting would have got to the bottom of Mr. Coulson's conduct at the News of the World, then he should be very clear about what Leveson found. And he found this. The process of considering Mr. Coulson for DV status would not have involved a detailed investigation of phone hacking at the News of the World. That undermines the entire case that Labour have been trying to make all morning. I know you don't agree with it. I know that he is so desperate not to talk about the economy, not to talk about unemployment, not to talk about the deficit, but you can't rerun an inquiry that's already taken place.
Ed Miliband.
Mr. Speaker, so now it is clear from the Prime Minister. I'll tell them what's weak. It's failing to stand up for doing the right thing. And that is what this Prime Minister has done. So now we know the rule of this Prime Minister is the buck doesn't stop here and he blames the civil service. Now on the civil service,
I mean, sometimes one has to repeat a thing because people don't get it first time. If there is quiet, we will continue. If people try to shout other people down against the principles of British democracy, they will be stopped in their tracks. It's very simple and I would have thought pretty clear. Ed Miliband.
On the civil service, can he assure the House that at no time did Sir Gus O'Donnell, the then Cabinet Secretary, or any senior civil servant raise concerns with him or his office about hiring Andy Coulson?
Gus O'Donnell has made that very clear in the evidence he gave to the inquiry, and indeed on the issue of vetting, he was absolutely clear that the decision about vetting is for the permanent secretary at Number 10, Sir Jeremy Hayward, someone who has served Labour governments with impeccable service, as well as coalition governments led by a Conservative Prime Minister. What the Right Honourable Gentleman is trying to do is go through all of the old questions that were answered by the Leveson inquiry. He didn't like the answer because he wanted to try and prove some cooked-up conspiracy between the Conservatives and News International. He cannot manage to do it because the Leveson inquiry can't find it. Now, he asked a minute ago what is weak. I'll tell you what is weak. Attacking Murdoch and then standing up with a copy of the Sun newspaper only to apologise a few hours later.
Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister said in his previous answer that Sir Gus O'Donnell was asked whether he raised concerns with him or his office about Andy Coulson. He was not asked that question at the Leveson inquiry. There is now a very important question which the whole country will want an answer to about whether Sir Gus O'Donnell or senior civil servants raised concerns with him or his office about Andy Coulson. And the truth about this is the charge against the Prime Minister is not one of ignorance, it is willful negligence. At the heart of of this scandal are thousands of innocent victims of phone hacking he didn't stand up for. The Prime Minister will always be remembered as being the first ever occupant of his office who brought a criminal into the heart of Downing Street.
He brought up the issue of the warning from The Guardian. I totally disproved him using the evidence. He brought up the idea of direct vetting. I have totally disproved him by using the evidence. He cannot bear the fact that an 8-month inquiry that he hoped was going to pin the blame on me found that I had behaved correctly throughout. That is the case. All of these issues were examined by the Leveson inquiry. But if he wants to debate the calls we make and the leadership we give, I'm happy to any time, because it is leadership that has got this economy moving. It is leadership that has got our deficit down. It is leadership that is putting Britain back to work. And it is the total absence of leadership from the Labour Party that shows they have nothing to say about Britain's economic future.